So how can we be encouraged in these troubled times? We need to stay focused on the eternal picture from God's Word. We need to stay focused on Christ. Set our minds on the things above. His day will come. His day will come, and we are in Him.
Welcome to this Monday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, today we wrap up our three-week tour through the book of Haggai, and it ends with a tremendous word of hope for us.
You know, Dave, it really does. And as this wonderful book of Haggai draws to a close, Haggai reminds those who have trusted in Christ that this is not all there is. That the world we now live in, the injustice, the pain, the sorrow, the sin that we experience on a daily basis will someday be a thing of the past. And more than that, all the injustices of the world will be made right. Now, I don't know about you, but that is a day that I am eagerly waiting for. Our text is Haggai chapter 2, verses 20 through 23.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, if you want to listen to today's broadcast again, just download our new free app from the Apple App Store. You'll find today's broadcast, archived broadcasts, as well as more about this ministry and our teacher, Pastor Greg Lundstedt. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
We see that they were under the Persians, so he was simply the governor. And on a temporal level, I believe most likely he needed to be encouraged. Lord is bringing some pretty difficult stuff. All the work of your hands is defiled, right? That's kind of difficult, right? Everyone's obeying, everyone's about God's work, and now it's all defiled? Well, hopefully, and we see, I believe they responded, but I believe he needed to be encouraged. You know, the same goes for us, those who might lead in different ways. Fathers, to be a good and godly dad, it's hard if you're discouraged. If you're a mother over your family, it's hard to be a good mother when you're discouraged, a godly mother. Hey, it's difficult to stay focused on Christ when you are discouraged. Now, what might have caused, the implications here, but I think it's supported in the text, that Zerubbabel was probably discouraged. I think there were a few things that might cause him to be discouraged. And the first one, I believe, is Satan. Turn to Zechariah chapter 3. You see, when Satan's attacking, accusing, and tempting us, we can be discouraged. Now, in Zechariah 3, we have a scene in heaven where Joshua the high priest, Zerubbabel's contemporary, is accused by Satan. This is Zerubbabel's contemporary. Zechariah 3, verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua the high priest, same guy, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to accuse him. Isn't that the way it is? You want to follow the Lord, you do the right thing, and all of a sudden you have these voices. Oh, you're such a sinner, you've blown it so bad, there's no way you can do it. God will never have you serve him. Look at how much you failed. Well, no, the truth is if you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The truth is we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. Certainly Satan will attack God's work and God's under-shepherds. We see that here. Also, sin can cause discouragement. Certainly, they were touching dead things. When you're sinning, when I'm sinning, hey, you know, it's discouraging. When you're failing, right? Certainly discouraging. Third thing, possibly just the crummy, insignificant look of this new temple and work versus the old one. That can be discouraging. We saw that already. It doesn't look, from our perspective, very exciting in the Lord. This temple looks pretty shabby. It's nothing in comparison. And guess who's the leader? It's Zerubbabel, right? Zerubbabel, you're not building a very nice temple. Certainly could be discouraging, possibly. And also, their current political situation would cause them to be discouraged. You see, he was the governor of Judah, not the king, and he was underneath the Persians, and all the nations around them had much more strength. They were a tiny remnant that had no possibility of defending themselves against anyone around them. Totally vulnerable. So then, has anything caused you to slip into discouragement, doubt, despair, failure, sin, someone else's sin, health problems, family problems, loss of a job, finances? Maybe you're not seeing what God is truly doing in your life. You see, he is going to complete the work that he started, right? Promises that, doesn't he? You serve by his strength faithfully and people don't respond. You've raised your children in a godly way in the fear and the discipline of the Lord, yet they seem to stray and not follow Him, whatever it might be, and hurt you. What do all these things have to do? They can all pull our eyes off of Jesus, right? And we can be discouraged. This is the battle we face every day, where we focus on the things in front of us, where we focus on Jesus Christ and the truth of what He's saying. And so what God is going to do with Zerubbabel, He's going to give him the eternal picture. He's going to give him the picture that is very important. Look back in our passage, verse 21. Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I am going to shake the heavens and the earth. I will overthrow the thrones of the kingdoms and destroy the power of kingdoms and nations. I will overthrow the chariots and their riders, the horses and their riders will go down, everyone by the sword of another. On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, declares it. I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts. You notice God is not suggesting anything here. I am going to, verse 21, I will overthrow and destroy, verse 22, I will overthrow, verse 23, I will take you and I will make you. Isn't that great? I'll take you and make you. That's what God does with us, doesn't He? Isn't that awesome? God has a definite future plan He is working towards. And sometimes we can be so distracted from what truly is going to happen, we get discouraged with the little things that come our way, which seem to be very big things to us. Zerubbabel, I'm going to shake the heavens and the earth. What is that speaking of? Do you remember what we saw earlier in chapter 2? It spoke of judgment, because this is quoted in Hebrews chapter 12. Turn there, this very passage, Hebrews chapter 12, and it speaks of God's judgment. You see, all the nations around you are prospering, and they are much larger than you, and they could take you on in a second from your perspective. You're a remnant, you're nothing. But God is over that, and He's going to take care of that. Hebrews 12, 25. See to it that you do not refuse Him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused Him who warned on earth, much less so we escape and turn away from Him who warns us from heaven. Verse 26. And His voice shook the earth then. Speaking of the old covenant, when God came to Israel on Sinai, He spoke and it shook the earth, and there was smoke and fire. But now there's going to be another shaking. And he says here, and the voice shook the earth, but now He has promised, saying, yet once more, is from our passage, I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. And this expression, yet once more, denotes removing of those things which can be shaken as of created things, or that things which cannot be shaken remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. He's going to shake the kingdoms of the earth and establish His kingdom, which we are part of. And that's what He says here in this passage. Verse 22, I will overthrow the thrones and kingdoms and destroy the power of the kingdoms of the nations. I'll overthrow the chariots and their riders, the horses and their riders will go down, everyone by the sword of another. God is going to take care and wipe out those kingdoms that are in rebellion, and He will be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords over that. And notice He says, it's on that day. On that day, verse 23. What day? The day of the Lord. The day, Yahweh's day, which is self-existent one, the Lord of all, Jesus Christ, will bring judgment upon the world in His fierce judgment against sinners. And I've got a lot of passages here, but for time's sake, I just want to share one or two with you to remind you of the day of the Lord. Turn to Psalm 110, verse 5. You see, it looks like everybody's getting away with everything right now, doesn't it? It sure does, doesn't it? And the world is just going spiraling, and everyone is doing everything they want to do. Kingdoms and nations do what they want to do. They're cruising along, but it's cruising along to God's day. Psalm 110, verse 5. The Lord is at my right hand. He will shatter the kings in the day of His wrath. He will judge among the nations. He will fill them with corpses. He will shatter the chief men over the broad country. We have Ezekiel chapter 30. I'll just read this for you. The word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, prophesy and say, thus says the Lord God, wail, alas, the day of the Lord. Even the day of the Lord is near. It will be a day of dark clouds and a time of doom for the nations. Day of the Lord, God is going to take back His world from the nations that have usurped His authority. We have it in Isaiah, "Wail, for the day of the Lord is coming from the Almighty." He says later on, Isaiah 13, "And he will exterminate sinners from it." You see, the Lord gives the offer of salvation, but if you reject that, if you don't worship the Lord with reverence, if you don't have a changed heart because of Jesus Christ, judgment will come. Jesus speaks of the day of the Lord in his discourse in Matthew chapter 24 and 25. He speaks of it in Luke chapter 17. He says, "In that day, it'll be like what happened with Lot when fire and brimstone came from heaven and destroyed it. It will be the same in the day the Son of Man is revealed." So the day of the Lord is God's direct judgment upon the world. And he is telling Zerubbabel, it's going to come, Zerubbabel. All the nations that are prospering, that are oppressing you, the Lord's day will come. The Lord's day will come. Notice in Revelation chapter 19, actually, you can read that on your own, we see that Christ will come and he will make an end to his enemies. And he will kill the rest with the sword of his mouth of him who sat on the horse, and all the birds were filled with their flesh. We're going to see that Christ is going to come. He's going to defeat his enemies. But God is so gracious. He first came in grace. Jesus Christ came not to judge, but to bring forth salvation. And we are living in a time where that offer is for you right now. If you're willing to humbly acknowledge your sin, be contrite before him with a genuine heart that is broken over sin, God will save you if you call out to him. Whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. So with that in mind, judgment is coming on sin and sinners. It's coming on sin and sinners, yet God is gracious. He has a plan. He has a plan, and he's going to prevail. It seems like everyone else is going to prevail, but no, God's going to prevail. Zerubbabel, God's going to prevail. Serve with my plan in view. I'm going to shake the nations. They're not going to get away with anything. And notice, not only will the Lord be victorious, he is also going to reign. Look at verse 23, back in the book of Haggai. "On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant, declares the Lord, and I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord of hosts." The term Lord of hosts, Lord of armies. This exile group of people were very small in light of the armies around them, but their God is the Lord of armies. He says, I'm going to do this on that day. On the day that I take care of the nations, on the day that I prevail over all those who rebelled against me, on that day, I'm going to make you something, Zerubbabel, on that day. So what's being said here? Is he speaking of Zerubbabel literally? Let's take a look here. Notice he says, he talks about my servant and a signet ring. And if we look at these terms, this will help us understand what he's speaking of here. Now, certainly this term, my servant, speaks of those who serve, and Zerubbabel was his servant. But also this term, my servant, was used to speak of those who were a type of Christ, who typified what Christ would do. We see that in Isaiah 53, that my servant will justify the many. Jesus is the servant. We see this term speaking of my servant David as God's servant, but yet we see even in Ezekiel that from David's line would come one who would reign. My servant David speaks ultimately at times in the Old Testament of Christ. It's foreshadowing from David to Christ. And here we have a foreshadowing from Zerubbabel to Christ, as I believe. Look at Jeremiah 33 for a moment. We see this foreshadowing in how David, my servant David, actually speaks of Christ at this point. Jeremiah 33. "Behold, days are coming," verse 14, "declares the Lord, where I will fulfill my good word which I had spoken to the house of Israel and the house of Judah." Hey, he's going to keep his promises. "In those days, at that time, I will cause a righteous branch of David to spring forth, and he shall execute justice and righteousness on the earth. In those days, Judah shall be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell in safety. And this is in the name in which she shall be called, the Lord is our righteousness. For thus says the Lord, David shall never lack a man to sit on the throne of the house of Israel. And then in the book of Luke, we have the Lord through an angel sharing with Mary. Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall name him Jesus. And he shall be great and called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Just like David is his servant, there was a typification of what Christ would do. He pointed to, ultimately, the Messiah. And we see the same thing here, I believe, with Zerubbabel. Jesus was the one who would rule over his people on the throne of David. And here we have the term, my servant, I believe, in our passage, pointing to Christ. Let's go back to that passage in Haggai. Notice this term also here. He says, a signet ring. Signet ring. Well, what's a signet ring? Well, he's addressed Zerubbabel four times here in the book of Haggai, the governor of Judah. And now he says, Zerubbabel, my servant. He doesn't say governor. He says, you will be like a signet ring. A signet ring. Well, what's a signet ring? In the Old Testament, it was used in three different ways. One is a personal signature of the person that represented. It was used to validate royal authority on a sealed document. It was also used to guarantee a future promise. And the key is it always represented its owner. So what's he saying here? On that day, speaking of the day of the Lord, goes right, I will take you, Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, my servant. That's speaking of Christ. I'll be the one that's going to come from your line. And it goes on, I will make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you, declares the Lord. I will make my servant, who comes from your line, Zerubbabel, Jesus Christ, my signet. He will represent me. He will be my personal stamp, the exact person. He will seal everything I say. The one that comes from you, it doesn't seem like much is coming from you, but what's going to come from you? The Messiah. Zerubbabel, you don't see God reigning now. Your work seems insignificant. Your enemies seem to be prospering. Oh, but Zerubbabel, things are not what they seem. The Lord whom you serve will prevail over the wicked nations, and he will reign, and the day will come when he prevails and reigns over all. You see, scriptures are clear that ultimately every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Christ is going to reign, even though it doesn't seem like it in this world. You know, the God we serve, it seems like we're the nothing in this world and everyone else is prospering. We're suffering. The God we serve is going to prevail and reign. Let's look at one last passage. Turn to Psalm 2. Psalm 2. Why are the nations in an uproar and the peoples devising a vain thing? The kings of earth take their stand and the rulers take counsel against the Lord and against his anointed. Let us tear their fetters apart and cast their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens laughs. The Lord scoffs at them. Then he will speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. But as for me, I've installed my king upon Zion, my holy mountain. I will surely tell the decree of the Lord. He said to me, thou art my son. Today I have begotten thee. Ask of me, and I will surely give the nations as thine inheritance and the very ends of the earth as thy possession. Christ is going to get it all, and we're in him. You're on the winning side, by the way. And he says here, thou shalt break them with a rod of iron, thou shalt shatter them like earthenware. Now, therefore, O kings, show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, lest he become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. It doesn't look like Christ is victorious right now, at least in this world. It doesn't look like it. It seems like everyone's getting away with evil everywhere. But the reality is he secured our victory on the cross. He brought about forgiveness of sins. And he will prevail. He will deal with the nations. He will reign as he has promised. Be encouraged. Though it doesn't look like it, the God you serve will prevail. So how can we be encouraged in these troubled times? We need to stay focused on the eternal picture from God's word. We stay focused on Christ. We set our minds on the things above. His day will come. His day will come, and we are in him. So we've learned a lot from the book of Haggai. First, we are to consider our priorities, consider our ways. Are we about the Lord's business? Second, we are to consider our Lord. He is with us and doing a marvelous work through us. Third, we are to consider our behavior, confessing and forsaking sin that defiles the works of our hands. And lastly, we are to consider our future in Christ. He will prevail, he will reign, and we are in Christ. I want to close with Psalm 73. Let's turn there together. I'd like to read the whole psalm, but for time's sake, I'm going to move up a little bit here. Let's look at verse 12. And you can read the whole thing. It's talking about people who don't believe in God and are prospering. Psalm 73, verse 12. Behold, these are the wicked, and always at ease. They have increased in wealth. Surely in vain I have kept my heart pure and washed my hands in innocence, for I have been stricken all day long and chastened every morning. If I had said I would speak thus, behold, I should have betrayed the generation of thy children. When I pondered to understand this, it was troublesome in my sight. Troublesome seeing the world prospering and suffering myself. Right? But notice what he says. It was troublesome in my sight until I came into the sanctuary of God. Then I perceived their end. Surely thou dost set them in slippery places, thou dost cast them down to destruction. How they are destroyed in a moment, they are utterly swept up by sudden tears. Like a dream when one awakes, O Lord, when aroused, thou wilt despise their form. When my heart was embittered and I was pierced within, then I was senseless and ignorant. I was like a beast before thee. Nevertheless, I am continually with thee. Thou hast taken hold of my right hand. With thy counsel, thou wilt guide me and afterward receive me to glory. If you're in Christ, it turns out glorious. Keep your eyes on him. Keep your eyes on Christ. Keep your eyes on what he said he's doing, and that will protect you from being discouraged as you serve him.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you. Thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. And Greg, as we wrap up this message and our entire series here in Haggai, what's one takeaway you have for us?
You know, Dave, I think if we were to boil this entire book down to one main point, it would be obedience in the context of a right relationship with Christ. And that is what brings spiritual blessing and joy. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, disobedience brings discouragement, doubt, and difficulty. I think we all know this, but when you see it clearly presented as it is in Haggai, I believe we will gain a fresh new perspective of this truth. Getting off track spiritually doesn't always happen in one great big moral spiritual failure. It happens incrementally over time. Little by little, we find ourselves drifting away from the truth, our thinking being conformed bit by bit to the world. And I believe that's what's happened in the book of Haggai. Bit by bit, the Israelites had moved away from what God had called them to do, and they were under God's disciplinary hand. My prayer for you today is that you would re-examine your priorities, consider your ways, and if you find yourself under his disciplinary hand, then take the necessary steps to get back in a right relationship with the living God. Start today. You will be so glad you did.
As we close today's broadcast, here's an important message from our teacher, Greg Lundstedt.
Hi, this is Greg Lunstead, and it is my great privilege to study and teach the Word of God and to share it with you each day on this radio station. And as you listen, I want to ask you this question. Has equipping the saints been a blessing to you? If so, would you prayerfully consider coming alongside us financially? You see, your financial partnership with us is so appreciated. So on behalf of the team here at Equipping the Saints, we want to praise our Lord and thank you for your prayers and financial support.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, to partner with us, call us toll-free 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. Or if you prefer to send a gift online, our web address is etsradio.org. Well, we hope you make plans to join us again right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints.